With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape Resorts and Spas and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl, you could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.
We have a guest today that Joy snagged that I am pumped about. This is what we do, you guys. We just text people until they relent. And, and we finally did it. Joy, you hooked the big one. One of our all-time favorites. Tell them who we got.
We've been chasing you forever, Miss Kelsey Espiel. Guys, this is Gigi. It's Gigi. She's
here with us. The cutest.
No, thank y'all for having me. It really means so much to me to be here.
We keep thinking about you, especially the, you know, you're showing up on the show in and out. We're on season 6 now, as you know, because you just watched the episode. And you really, it's so fun to see these characters like you who came in, made a dent, and then disappeared, and then came back and made another big splash. The consistency, the heartwarmingness of it, if that's a word, it's not, but I'm going to pretend it is.
Heartwarmingness, yeah, no, that's a word, sure.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to make
it. We love that word. Kelsey, the like biggest thing that we have talked about over the years is this mystery of how old you were when you booked One Tree Hill. Because, baby, like we were all old playing teenagers and you were a real teenager, but we didn't know if you were like a preteen. Like, how old were you?
I was 13.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And y'all were like these beautiful, like, because you're 24, I think, when I started.
Yeah, we're like 10 years older than you, I think.
I looked up so much. Oh my God. And
you were 13?
I stuffed my bra for the audition.
You stuffed your bra?
Yeah. Oh my God. I had to. And I thought, I remember I was auditioning for a cheerleader. So I borrowed my friend's cheerleading outfit and they were like, no, this is the school nerd. And I was like,
that's hysterical. Wait, you went into the audition with a cheerleading uniform?
Oh yeah. Well, I like brought it on the like with me because I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. I mean, it was my first job. So I like stuttered my way through the audition. And obviously, like the nerd, it was a better fit.
You did not tell them you were 13, though.
I don't think I lied. Maybe I
omission. It's a lie of omission.
Maybe that just wasn't in there. Yeah, they didn't ask in those days.
Kelsey, I have a child that's turning 14, and the idea of him carrying the weight, the responsibility of a role like what you were playing, like, is horrifying to me.
On a show with a bunch of adults. Maria just turned 13 last week. It's the same thing.
I'm like 13 too.
Yeah. Oh, I'll text you photos. It's insane.
Oh my God.
You're right, Hillary. The weight of that.
I didn't know at all what I was doing. And I was just so happy to be there. I couldn't believe my luck that I do remember getting the note like to stop smiling. You know, I was just so happy to be there. And so it was such a learning lesson. And you know, because I was so young, my mom and I, we drive up, because I'm from Columbia, South Carolina, which is like 3 hours away.
Yeah.
And so we drive up together, and, you know, we get per diem and get to stay at the Hilton.
Yeah.
So we like would get room service. And I think, you know, those are some of my favorite memories, is just getting to spend that time with her. But yeah, I think my first day, I like started the scene before action, and poor Lenore's, sweet, sweet Lenore's, was so
angel.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't have had a better scene partner.
Oh yeah. No, I was in really good hands.
Cause he was also a child actor. And so understanding kind of like you're a part of the team, but you're also still a kid in a grown-up world. He really understood how to navigate that. And I think he was really nervous, you know, for all the men for you to get paired with on the show. Lee Norris was like the best and safest place to be. Had you been doing theater? Like, what was your background that led up to this teen drama splash?
My awkward years on TV.
Yeah. Forever.
Forever. I did school plays, and I remember I did my first community theater spot, and I remember that being such a pivotal moment, because, you know, you have people who work 9 to 5s who are coming in because they really love it, and that kind of passion, at learning that kind of passion at such a young age was so special. And so I got a local agent, and this audition came my way, and I mean, never in a million years, you don't ever think it's possible. So yeah, it still kind of blows my mind.
You crush. Wait, so had you ever kissed a boy in real life, or was One Tree Hill like?
Oh, no. Oh yeah. This is terrible. Okay. So we're diving right in.
Go dark.
Yeah, exactly. So my first kiss was on One Tree Hill, was with James in that rehearsal scene. Oh God.
Wait, what?
Your first kiss is James Lafferty?
Oh God. It was
like, poor man, like every other man you date from that point forward when you're a child.
Oh no. It was I remember I was so incredibly nervous, like kissing my hand, not eating the shrimp skewer that day.
Yes.
Cinnamon gum. I remember talking to Sophia and being like, do you kiss during rehearsal? Like,
no,
I don't
do.
Know what you're supposed to do. And the worst part is that in that scene, I jump him and kiss him. And I have braces. And so when I tell you that I jumped this poor man and punched his face with my face, like, you can hear the smack of just hitting his teeth. Oh my God, it was the worst kiss of my life, of his life. I should issue an apology. So sorry.
Wait, which scene was this? I'm so confused. Why do I not remember this? Was it on the basketball court or something?
No, it's when we're reenacting all of Nailey's moments.
Yes. Yes, at your engagement party.
Yeah, it was season 4.
Oh, okay, on the stage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Was it season 3 or season? God, that's so hilarious. Listen, Okay. I had such a bad kissing scene with James in season one that they made us reshoot it twice. Because they were like, you guys just look like you're hurting each other. So, Kelsey, frankly, I'm happy that you really gave him the what for. Because payback's a bitch. Well, that's hilarious.
That much better. I don't know. They're always still awkward, you know.
So awkward. Especially having your first real kiss on camera. That is... That's tough. I had to do that in a pilot that I did when I was 14. It was the same thing. And I didn't know what to do. It was fine. Like I think I had probably kissed a boy at summer camp, you know, like mwah, kind of a kiss, but not a real, I mean, I was supposed to be making out on a couch with a boy.
What?
And my dad walks in. Paul Sorvino was my dad. And he walks in. He's like, whoa, whoa, gets mad at us. Gina Phillips was playing my older sister. And I remember corralling her in my dressing room and being like, you have to tell me what to do. I do not know what to do. Do I stick my tongue down his throat? Do I just like keep my lips together? Do I open my mouth? I don't know what to do.
You were leaps and bounds ahead of me. Wasn't even wondering the open mouth. I should have talked to you beforehand.
No, but apparently I did it badly because whatever I did, when they said cut, the guy was like, are you okay? That was kind of weird.
Oh, no.
I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so sorry.
I love it. These are my favorite kinds of stories about work because people forget that, like, you personally aren't always caught up to what your character does. I had to play so many drug addicts when I left One Tree Hill, and y'all know I've never done drugs. Like, I'm not a drug girl. And just trying to fake it, like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen.
Yeah, I'm so bad.
They maybe had you start off as like the square chick. You were still always way too pretty. But then they turned you into like, va-va-voom.
Yeah, what a progression.
Did they? I think they tried.
They did.
No, they did. They succeeded. But it was strange. I mean, I was curious about your take on it, which I don't know if you want to talk more about that in the episode or now. But yeah, what we were watching was just like,
well, but yeah, because the 5-year jump, I feel like it caught up to y'all closer to y'all's real age.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
For me, it was
further away.
Much further away.
Yeah. So wait, how old were you when we were playing the jump?
I think I was 16.
Holy Christ, Kelsey!
Yes. Oh God!
Like, yeah. They made you say that stuff, and you were 16 years old.
Yes, and I am so, I'm 32 and I still don't know how to flirt. So,
oh my God.
Watching the episode just now, being like, is that how you talk to men?
we had that discussion two podcasts ago. We're like, with Austin, we're like, do women actually, like, has this ever happened to you? Apparently, like, sometimes it does, but it's rare.
Yeah. I wish I had the balls, but.
Oh, I know.
So, yeah, I was faking it till I was making
Were your parents shocked? Were your parents like, I don't know about this content? Or were they, how did you approach acting and storytelling from a point of where you're comfortable with that at that age?
Yeah, you know, my parents were so wonderful. My dad was really Chinese about it, where he was like, look, if you make good grades, you can do whatever.
Like, great.
Have fun. It's an experience.
She's on honor roll. Who cares if she's on the news desk?
Yeah, but he wasn't so happy about the time jump, but being a nerd at the gym was totally fine. And and my dad, my mom was so, I got to thank my mom because she really was so, she's always given me the gift of possibility. It was like, why not? Why not take a leap? And why couldn't this happen? Why couldn't you be on TV or, you know, whatever I wanted to do? And so I think, and she was always with me on set, but I think, you know, navigating the time jump too was difficult because, you know, I don't know. I mean, she's a liberal woman. She was in California. She went to school in California in the 70s. So I remember her, like, she was watching The Sopranos when I was growing up, and I'd always sneak in to watch it with her. And so she kind of like was always okay with all of that stuff as long as we could talk about it. And she was such a protective force, you know.
Like, did you run lines with your mom?
But did I run lines?
Like, who did you run these lines?
Oh yeah, these Elsie? Lines. Dad, can you come run these lines with
me? Yeah, exactly. Can you be Mel? Oh God, you know, I don't remember. I remember, like, I also remember y'all being so wonderful and protective as well, especially when, yeah, we were shifting gears she was getting more sexy, you know, like, yeah. And like having to take my shirt off. And I remember being really nervous about all of that and not knowing what I was supposed to do. And I remember Sophia specifically being like, really protective of like, all right, so we're wearing a tube top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Above the shoulder, you know.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciate, because it's scary navigating all of this, and you don't know that you can say no.
No, you don't, until you see someone else do it.
Yeah.
Right? Until you see another chick do it and her world doesn't fall apart, you're like, oh no, I guess I'll just make myself fit into this position. And I think I thought you were 15 and that was shocking. And you telling me that you were 13 and then like 16 doing this is just blowing my mind. Like,
yeah, I'm absolutely having a hard time.
Your level of professionalism, you know, you were tricking the girls who were already like in the fight. We were already the ones who were like, this is bullshit. You can't do this. And you came in and you were like, I am totally composed and I am going to make the best of this situation. Yeah, it's a level of professionalism you wouldn't expect from like a kid. You were a kid.
But listen, I had so much support through y'all and through the crew, because I grew up also with the crew, like from I think 13 to 17 was when I was on the show. So I did feel, I always felt really protected in that way.
Yeah.
You brought so much good energy in. Like, it makes sense that everyone was like, protect her at all costs.
Yeah, it was like little sister energy. We did want to protect you, especially because you were so beautiful. We saw the content that was coming your way. We knew the person who was writing it and the person who was like putting you in those positions. And yeah, I think we all were feeling protective and wanting to just make sure that you were okay. Like, just hanging around on set a little longer when you had your scenes and just making sure that you were comfortable. I remember having one conversation with you. I don't know when it was, and it wasn't a long conversation, but it was just like a check-in. Like, are you comfortable with all this? Is all this okay? And I'm sure you had those conversations with probably Hillary and Sophia too. But yeah, we were talking about it behind the scenes and making sure you were good, because that's just such an uncomfortable position for 13, 16. Ugh. And Barbara too. I remember Barbara also being like, is she okay? Is everything all right?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. We were like orcas. We would all just kind of like circle Harvard. Around you. So whether or not you could see us, the orcas were there.
Yeah.
Ready to flip boats.
I also needed help with just like the girl, like, you know, of like, I remember I had to dance in one scene, which is also terrifying.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
Know how to do this. Or like, you know, it was a lot of growing up and navigating, you know.
Like. But we also had this cool pack of younger girls on the show at this point. Like, you, I think, were the youngest of them. But we had Kate Vogel, who was there. We also had Ashley Rickards, who was there. And all of a sudden,
I'm so happy, because I think because I don't know if Kate and I ever crossed, but Ash and I did. And I was like, thank God.
Yeah, there's another one.
You were 52?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was kind of like Peyton and Brooke all over again. Because if you're the Brooke and you're the slutty one taking her shirt off, and she's the angry Peyton one who's climbing out of windows and being grumpy, you know, like that's fun to watch.
Yeah, she's incredible in this episode too.
I'm curious, just from an acting standpoint, because you weren't given too much meat on the show. You know, you it was pretty fluffy material, and you always were just so sincere, and you made the most out of, I think, just because you were kind of so in your body, and you, maybe because you were so young, you weren't really quote unquote acting, you were just being there and present. But it is the material was just sort of a certain surface level, and to see the progression of your career and the kind of performances that you have given now, you know, what I have seen you do on Yellowstone, which has blown my mind so many times.
My husband doesn't believe that I know you.
Yeah.
Jeffrey's always like, you don't know her, Hillary. No, she's like important. You don't know her.
Tell him, I can't believe I know
That's so funny. You don't know her, but no, you're a beautiful dramatic actress.
Y'all got to come to Montana because we got one more season left.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Joy has been talking about being on Yellowstone for years. If you don't put her on a horse.
Oh my God, it would be amazing.
Can I just be in the background?
Mm-hmm. We're not going to put them in the background, Joy. You're going right front and center.
Please, I'll just ride a horse through the background. But anyway, I'm just curious about your progress as an actor, how you went from this sort of surface and then you were on a Disney show. And it's really unusual, I think, for actors who start out in that tier to move into something that's so well-respected and really the quality of your work is so, so, so excellent and nuanced. And it can be hard to drop into that place when you're used to sort of doing the jazz hands show stuff. How did you make that transition? I'm sorry if that made no sense. Did it make sense?
No, it's like when Michelle Pfeiffer did Grease 2 and then yes. She did, you know, Scarface right after that. You know, like it's making the jump from the giggly to super serious work.
Oh, that it means so much, first of all. I mean, really, I think me at 13, they couldn't believe that I'm sitting here talking to y'all. Like, she'd be over the moon right now. So it's so special. I think when I was on One Trail, I couldn't believe I was there. I was just lucky to be there. And so you kind of, and you're taking in as much information as you can because you're learning how sets work. And I think that is, first off, such a valuable lesson. Just, it really is, you learn so much by doing. So I think watching you guys and watching y'all navigate a set was so incredibly helpful and such a great foundation. And then, and the Disney show as well was, I loved doing that show because I think the American sitcom is such a beautiful medium. Because
yes.
It combines TV with film. And so we had all these kids and if a joke doesn't land, we go in and we try again. And
so fun.
And you're playing dress up. It was so wonderful. And I don't know. I mean, to this day, I feel like I'm pulling the wool over everyone's eyes.
So you didn't do any dramatic training or anything?
No, I think I need to. I really should. I need some
training. No, don't.
You could teach.
No, you're great.
You know, we all do. We're sponges. We just try and pick up as much as we can from our fellow actors and trying new things. And what's really fun too is, I mean, your relationship with the work changes constantly. And I even found, you know, I found auditions just horrible and ugh.
Oh, like, they're the worst.
God, I couldn't stand it. And then with the self-tapes and stuff, I finally just thought, you know what, this is part of the job too. And like, how can I make this moment just really fun and bring in the parts that I love about the job into it? So I don't know. I'm learning and hopefully I'm a better actor, you know, now than I was then and I'll keep evolving. But
well, you can see the level of seriousness that you brought to Gigi because she could have just been a punchline.
Yeah.
And when she's hurt by mouth, when she's younger and when there's like this validation she's seeking from him, there is a level of sincerity there that's not on the page. That's something that you infused into the character and made her
yes.
very human and very girlish and likable. And, you know, even as she's trying to seduce poor Millie's boyfriend, she's so fucking likable, man.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be mad at her. You did that.
Oh, well, bless you. I tried. I tried. I think it was being in high school, you just, you know, I was saying earlier, you just feel everything exponentially. So it was so easy to kind of put all those raging feelings into this. But I think that's why people connect with this show. So my sister was so young when she's 8 years younger. So she didn't watch it when it came out.
Oh, wow.
Watched it from start to finish. It's so funny, like seeing these new generations watching the show,
yeah,
how it really resonates with them. I mean, my sister was like, the next convention.
Oh my God, yes.
No way.
Like, I'm inviting myself.
Yes, bring her.
Bring her.
Do you still get recognized from as Gigi?
The fans to this day are the best fans of any project I've ever been on. The fact that you, the fact that the fans remember my lines when I'm just a blip on the show.
Aww.
Is unbelievable. So yeah, I mean, I think that was why I was in a bar and someone came up to me and said one of my lines and I couldn't believe it, but they are, and going to those basketball games and seeing for the charity basketball games and
yeah,
the fans come from all over the world. I mean, it must have been so crazy for y'all, like such a wild experience.
Well, the fans have questions for you. We just put out a query last night on social media and there was a flood because they everybody is attached to your character. If Peyton Sawyer had thrown herself at someone's boyfriend, she would have been vilified and was. But when Gigi does it, she's a doll baby.
Everybody loves Gigi.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah, somehow you manage that. You manage to like get wedge yourself into one of the favorite fan relationships, Mouth and Millie. And still, people just love Gigi. Mm-hmm. How did you do it?
Well, I was watching last night being like, this is not okay. Oh, my God. And yeah, I really fell for Millie. I'm so sorry that she was. Yeah, it was really against me, Kelsey's will. So
we'll tell her that you said that.
Yeah.
Friends, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home? I don't think so.
I don't think there is. No. Oh, that feeling of just walking in the door and it's like, my life is okay. I'm not a total disaster. Like,
yeah.
I really feel better about myself when my house is clean. And I think the best way to achieve that relaxing feeling of a clean home, Clorox Scentiva.
Clorox Scentiva provides a powerful clean with refreshing scents. And you can find your home's signature scent. It might be coconut, grapefruit, lavender. There is a scent for every vibe.
Oh, it's grapefruit for me, all the way.
Lavender for me.
Friends, transform your home into an oasis.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence.
Get yours now at a retail store near you.
What if we told you that April showers bring more awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays? That sounds better, right? So Cheap Caribbean Vacations semi-annual sale is helping you rein in an extra $200 off your next booking of 4 nights or more. That means you can score site-wide deals on your favorite beaches like Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April. Don't wait. The semi-annual savings only comes twice a year. So go to cheapcaribbean.com to do your deal and save $200 on your next vacay. So I play this little game every morning where I leave the house looking decrepit. And then I drop my children off at school. And then I get to my office and I take out a nice, cute little bag that came with my Thrive Cosmetic order. And with just a couple of products, I'm able to look like a normal, happy, healthy human again. It's incredible. I love these products. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. With clean, skin-loving ingredients, their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. Now, a few of my favorite products include their incredible Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. Its easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like wax and blends like a powder. Just line brows to give this some structure and create natural-looking strokes of hair to fill in sparse brows. It comes with a spoolie brush to lift and tame brows after applying the pencil, and there are 8 shades to choose from that adjust to your natural brow color for a perfect match every time. Now, my other favorite product, I've been talking about this forever, is the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. And it's super easy to remove, you guys. This is my favorite part. It just slides right off with warm water, doesn't leave smudges, doesn't pull your eyelashes out. It's incredible. Its nourishing ingredients support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/drama. That's Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E, metics.com/drama for 10% off your first order.
I think this is such a brilliant invention, and I wish somebody had come up with it earlier, but I'm glad we have it now. You know, I've been doing theater since I was a little kid. My mom has all these videotapes of me and all these productions. And then we also have all of our family movies and all of the family photo albums and all of the everything that just takes up so much space. And I'm so grateful that Legacy Box created this whole platform to be able to condense these amazing memories down into something that's actually tangible and easy to access.
Well, and with Mother's Day fast approaching, it is a great gift for the whole family. So you can relive moments like wedding days, first steps, or the embarrassing haircut you had in the 90s. You can reconnect with your family's history and hear your grandmother's voice again for the first time.
Yes, the process is so easy. You just send in your legacy box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. And their team professionally digitizes everything by hand. In the USA, you'll get everything back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with your originals. It's so easy.
Yeah. I mean, again, the VHSs, my new project is that I found Jeffrey's big, huge storage containers of VHS. And he was making TV shows in the late 80s, early 90s that I never got to see. This is my chance. So
all of his pilots that never aired, right?
I love those old beta tapes.
Yes.
So you guys can do this too. Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories. Just go to legacybox.com/drama to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever. That's legacybox.com/drama. Okay, so Carly wants to know, did you relate to Gigi's character at all, or is she just like the complete opposite of yourself?
I think I am. I may be more comfortable being the school nerd versus being the second Gigi 2.0.
The fembot.
Well, I don't know if I was quite so, you know, horny as Gigi.
Like, no.
Yeah, what was her deal?
God, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Carolyn wants to know, if you could have created your own storyline for Gigi, what would that have been?
I think I would just want to be in more scenes with y'all, to be honest.
Oh, girl time.
Yeah, why didn't we ever get like a Gigi, Sam, Mia, Peyton, Brooke, and Haley weekend?
Because they knew that we would tell the younger girls. Run.
That's right. Run. I guess that's true.
Block that number on your phone. Run. No, we did have a good time, though, at the 100th episode party. You were there, weren't you?
It was that?
That was the party where everyone was all dressed up.
I was at some party.
Yeah. We had a big party that you were at, because I remember you showed up with a couple of the other girls.
Yeah, I think it was that Boathouse restaurant, like 100th episode party.
Right, at the beach? I don't know.
Water?
I remember going to the season 3 wrap party and, you know, like wearing the ugliest dress that I thought was going to be so cute.
We all regret our fashion back then. Don't feel bad.
A lot of those Empire waist, like bubble dresses.
Yeah, the bubble dress, half of what we talk about on this show. Why did we wear that?
No. Yeah, that would have been fun to have an all girls thing.
I know. You know?
Peyton needed an intern. Peyton didn't have an intern. I'm really jealous that like Lee had not only an intern, but she was so popular she had a going away party. Like,
yes. Yes. Well, actually, speaking of that, Kev wants to know what your favorite memory is from working with Lee.
Oh, gosh. My favorite memory. This one's so funny because it's like I'm so lame in this story. But I remember it really has to do, I think, with kind of what we were talking about before of like how kind and generous Lee was, like knowing that I was so young and then also and just being like so welcoming and protective and patient. And so for his birthday, I remember I got him, I mean, this really dates me, but I bought him iPod socks.
Oh, honey.
iPod socks? What is that?
Apple had just released iPod socks in like
multiple colors.
And ooh, I got these socks that have iPods on them, or are they socks that you put your iPods in?
They were like socks with your iPod. And I thought it was going to be really cool. And I like, it's the lamest gift ever. And
yeah,
I
it's
remember
so thoughtful.
Making me feel like I had gifted him a Rolex. Like, it was just so, he was like, this is so cool. Thank you so much. Like, he was such a sweetie about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think back on it and I'm like, God, he was, yeah, that was so way too generous of a response for that. Yeah.
iPod socks are like a thing. That should be like, we should have like iPhone socks. I don't have an iPhone sock. If someone brought that to me on set,
I would use an iPhone sock.
Yeah. Keep your screen all fresh and clean. Girl. Yes.
Sounds great.
My other favorite memory of him is probably seeing him at the convention. Now, because this was when I was probably like 25 or so. And I brought my mom and my sister. And, you know, just being like old enough to like grab a drink and just hang out. It was really nice.
Had you watched him on like Boy Meets World, or were you even alive when that show was on?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, of course. He was big Minkus fan. So it was like really bonkers to be working with him.
Hold on. I need to go off on a tangent question here, because it's dawning on me that like you were our target demographic when the show was on the air. And so before you joined the cast, were you like a Lucas girl? Were you a Nathan girl? Like, who did you as like a girl have a crush on?
It was very easy for me. I was completely a Nathan girl.
And you got to kiss James, your first on-screen kiss.
Oh my God, it's such a crush on James too. So then like it was.
He's so nice.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And he's so nice. And so, yeah. Oh God. It was cruel. Like the whole kiss thing.
And you guys were closer in age too.
You don't want to get what you wish for, you know? Like,
well, that's it. The horror of having like a childhood crush and then actually kissing that person on camera
is
horrifying. I could never.
That's an actual nightmare you'd wake up from and go, I hope that never happens.
They did it like six different angles. Looking back on it now, I was like, why did we need that? Oh God, it's too many times that he probably had to ice his mouth.
No, honey, those are just love bites. It's fine. It's fine.
Love brace lesions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good.
Fine. He's healed.
he's healed. He's fine. I don't worry about him anymore.
Okay. Do you typically watch the work that you do? Like, have you watched Yellowstone? Are you a fan of, I mean, obviously you're a fan of the show you're on it, but like, do you watch it all, or are you like, I can't watch my work?
I love watching, like even rewatching this episode today. I love seeing all of you. I loved watching the show again. It felt so good. I could skip over my parts.
Like, stop.
That was a little too much. I was like, texted my sister and was like, oh my God, I hate myself. This is so brutal.
It doesn't get better. We're six seasons in and I'm still like, oh God, I'm on screen. Yeah, I have to watch this and take notes.
You guys are brave for what, for, yeah.
Dude, just like, it's painful sometimes.
You're also much better actors.
Somebody else could have come in and really made all of that stuff just loathsome, you know? And you, Gigi always has a twinkle in her eye, even when she's saying heinous shit. And there's this element of mischief. And like, I'm just going to see if I can push this boundary and what I can get away with. And yeah, it's not great for poor Millie, but I don't know another actress who could have made it likable. You know, you handled that.
I totally agree. Yes, yeah, somehow it was still wholesome. While you were like, let's have sex and your girlfriend doesn't need to know.
She's so likable because she's a child.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. It's so, yeah.
Did boys at school think that you were fast because you were playing a fast character on TV?
Fast.
Fast. That's my old timey word.
Such a good question. I mean, I do remember one of my best friend's moms being like, why? Like, to my mom, like, why are you letting her do this? say these things on television.
And what control would your mom have? Like, who was she going to say no to, you know? Yeah. Like,
exactly. Like, it was so, my gosh, no. But I think that my mom just kind of let that roll off. Or she was like, but I have, do the boys thing. I mean, I was so not fast, so very slow.
Same. Glacial over here.
So good.
Those were the things. It's like, it's like when I had to grind up on some boy in an episode, I was like, talking to my best friends, being like, okay, let's get up on the table. Like, you know, just show me what I'm supposed to do. I don't know.
Oh, that's so cute.
Your friends coached you?
Oh, yeah.
Your fast friends?
Your fast friends.
My fast friends.
Oh, man, I want to meet your fast friends.
That's so good. Hey, Gina, you're fast. Come on over here. Show me.
Yeah, exactly.
So good.
I like fast friends.
Oh, friends, on this note, we're going to ask you to tune in next week. We've got another episode with Kelsey Asbiel. We're going to talk about episode 12 from season 6. And super excited to have her back with us. You can hear lots more from her coming up.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at DramaQueensOTH.
Or email us at DramaQueens@iHeartRadio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion but you're tough girl, you could sit with us girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape resorts and spas and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.